Pray with me, please. We pray in the words that our Bishop Emeritus, Mark Lawrence, so many times has begun a prayer. Very appropriate for today. Come, Holy Spirit, come like the wind and cleanse, come like the fire and burn. Holy Spirit, you are known amongst us today. We are gathered in your name, and Lord, we expect you to do mighty, miraculous, and wonderful things, all through the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So when I was a child, we would visit my grandmother at her home on Church Street. Not Church Street downtown Charleston, but Church Street in a small rural town in central Kentucky. It's the home where my mother grew up, and although it was torn down several years ago, I still remember this house very fondly. And you know, they say that home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is, right? And I agree, I think most of us can agree that that is a true statement. But if that is true, then I think this also is true, that the heartbeat of the home is the kitchen. And I remember that kitchen on Church Street fondly. You know, that room was certainly the most important room in that house. Home-cooked meals were made. Babies were bathed in the big farmhouse sink. Conversations took place, and hearts and bodies were warmed around the potbelly stove that heated the space. At least in that home, the heartbeat was certainly the kitchen. This morning, we celebrate here in this beautiful location, on this bluff, on this river, with the mighty wind of the Spirit blowing. We celebrate the heartbeat of the body of Christ. That is the birth of the church. That in the life of believers, beyond the pages of Scripture, some 2,000 years after the Holy Spirit descended upon the believers on that amazing day, this is what we come to celebrate. We celebrate a life together. We celebrate the heartbeat of the church. And we know that the heart of the church is established and rooted in none other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that he came into the world to save humanity from sin, death, and destruction. That he lived the perfect life that we were intended to live but cannot. That he willingly went to the cross and died to reconcile our sins to God. And that he made everything completely true at the bodily resurrection on the third day after that death. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the heart of the church. And we know this to be true by many reasons, by many examples throughout Scripture. Specifically, I want to talk about one of those this morning. There was a conversation, a discussion between Peter and Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus asked all of the disciples, he asked, "Who do people say that I am?" To which the disciples answered, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But then Jesus asked a deeper, more probing question. He asked, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And famously, Peter responded with a great and amazing answer. He said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." well, this was the correct answer. This was a great answer. This pleased Jesus very much with Peter's well thought out words. And Jesus responded back to Peter saying, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Simon was Peter's other name. "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. And I tell you right now that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church." Now, to be clear, Jesus was not telling Peter that the church will be established on Peter. Not at all. Jesus is telling him and the rest of the disciples and us today that the church is established upon the words which Peter spoke. The confession that Peter made by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because flesh and blood, mankind or the things of mankind, could not have given him that revelation. That was given by the Father in heaven, inspired by the divinity of the Holy Spirit. That is what the church is built upon. The proclamation that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And this is the heartbeat. This is the heart of the church, the gospel. And the heartbeat of the church then is the Holy Spirit. The heart of the church is the gospel. The heartbeat of the church is the Holy Spirit. And we know what the church is. The church is the gathering of people. Church is not the building. For more than 2,000 years, the church has been built upon the foundation of people making the proclamation that Jesus is the Christ. This is the foundation of the church. The foundation of the church is built upon Jesus Christ, His work, His grace, His sacrifice. And then we know that after all of His work on earth was finished, He ascended back into the glory of heaven forever, but He did not leave His people as abandoned. He did not leave the work that He came to accomplish. And 10 days after that day that He ascended back into heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon all of the believers that were gathered together on the day of Pentecost. And in that day, the eyes of all, Peter included, the eyes of all were open to everything that Jesus said and did while He was here on earth. And all of the people who were gathered together that day, they all spoke in different languages. But it was one message, the good news of God through Jesus Christ. And then they all understood what was spoken, even in their own language. It was a miracle. It was a miracle meant for one purpose: to unite the people of God with a bond so strong that it could never be broken, and would lead them then to accomplish the will of God in all corners of the globe. The day of Pentecost began with about 120 people gathered together. That's less than what we have here today. About 120 people were gathered together that day of Pentecost. And then, at the very end of Acts chapter 2, the day ended with more than 3,000 people together worshiping God and giving themselves over to His glory. God built the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, is the church, the gathering of the people. Today, right now, the Holy Spirit is present here with us because we are gathered in the name of the Lord. And I've said it time and time again, especially over these last 3 years, that the greatest work of the Holy Spirit is the unification of repentant believers. The greatest work of the Holy Spirit is the unification of repentant believers. Now, surely, the work of the Lord is never to be limited, and the Lord can work in any way that He pleases. But I have seen the great work of the Holy Spirit by uniting us together during this time of Exodus and tabernacling, literally setting up tents, while we are preparing for our future home, our future permanent home. I have seen time and time again the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we come together, as we are united as repentant believers in Jesus Christ. And St. Augustine would agree with that uniting work of the Spirit. This is what he has to say. He says, the day of Pentecost, today, is a solemn day for us because of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is the 50th day from the Lord's resurrection. 7 days multiplied by seven. Seven multiplied by seven is 49. But then one is added that we may be reminded of the one unity brought by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came, descended upon that 120, brought even more together, and has remained even now, today, more than 2,000 years later, continuing the good work of bringing people together for the purpose to worship God, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And this, quite honestly, is a work that we cannot necessarily understand. There are things and ways that the Spirit works that we cannot explain or define by scientific formulas, by mathematic equations, or by worldly standards. The Spirit works and wills in the way in which He will. In the ordination service of a new priest, there's a part of the service where the bishop will call upon the Holy Spirit to come and to enliven the newly ordained priest, but that's not all. To also renew the entire church that is gathered together. And this part of the ordination of a new priest is called, in Latin, the name of it is the Veni Creator Spiritus, which means, come Holy Spirit. It's a prayer that has been used by the church for nearly 2,000 years, more than 1,500 years, this same prayer has been used by the church. And these are the words. It goes, the first words go, come Holy Spirit, our souls inspire, enlighten with celestial fire. There are things, brothers and sisters, especially concerning the Holy Spirit, that we cannot understand because they take place in a celestial realm. We cannot put our own definitions or formulas or answers upon them. We trust that the Spirit is the Spirit, that the Lord is the Lord, and that I am not. That prayer is an acknowledgement of who the Holy Spirit is, asking then the Spirit to do His work. And then recognizing that we cannot fully understand how the work is done. But nevertheless, we know that we are the vessels of the Spirit's work. We are the vessel of the Spirit's work that takes place within the body, the church. Again, when I refer to the church, we know that it is not the church building with its four walls and its roof and its air conditioning. All of those are very important things. But even more important is the church, the body of Christ, all of us, all of you, The people who gather together to worship the Lord in the truth of Jesus Christ and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Every time we gather together in the Lord's name, it is the greatest work of the Spirit. Again, St. Augustine would agree, saying, all who possess the Holy Spirit are in the church. All who possess the Holy Spirit are in the church. Then, beloved, as we know, as we experienced today, the church grows through baptism. Baptism is one of the two, along with Holy Communion, that we will celebrate today as well. One of the two sacraments celebrated and ordained by our Lord Jesus. In the sacrament of baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, those who were baptized are brought from death to life, are born again in righteousness through union and unity with Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection. In baptism, the church grows. The church goes well beyond any walls or barriers. The church grows in baptism. And friends, baptism is a big deal. Baptism is a big deal. It does not exist properly without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Again, we cannot define or put into worldly standards the gifts that are imparted by the Holy Spirit, but we know that the heart of the church beats through the Holy Spirit. And this morning, Emily, Wells, Cade, and Kenna, they've all been baptized. They've been baptized today, the day of Pentecost, and welcomed into the life of the church as repentant believers in Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. And today we remember the birth of the church, the rebirth of these four souls. And we remember our own baptism that leads us into a life of repentance and acceptance of God's grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Surely, the home is where the heart is. And the heartbeat of the home is the kitchen. Likewise, surely, the gospel is where the heart of the church is. And the heartbeat of the church is the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, our souls inspire, enlighten with celestial fire. Amen.